Blog Talk Radio.
Leon Gabriel.
How you doing, Mr. Gatewood Robert?
Yeah, I'm doing fantastical. It's like a Brothers for Real kind of Thursday. What is it, Wednesday?
Well, tell me what a Brothers for Real kind of Thursday or Wednesday is like. What is it like? What's it like, well, bro, man? What's it like?
When the stars aligned, you're riding a high cloud, you had a good week leading up to the Wednesday of the show, you see blue skies and rainbows ahead.
I see you, bro. I see you, man. Little Brothers for Real kind of day in Anson County, too, man. Hey, Livingstone College down here today, man. Livingstone College Culinary Arts Program.
Livingstone College.
Man, it's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing, man.
Livingstone be doing some things, yeah. Don't they?
Yes, sir. Bless.
Maybe don't that turn to a real college up in there.
Wait a minute, bro. Hold on.
Hit me upside the head. Wait a minute, what the heck are you trying to say? Now, Livingstone's always been a real college. There's that
my
dream.
Wait a minute.
They are the elite institution of higher learning that has established itself as one of the premier high education institutions. Has a long history, long lineage of successful alumni across the world.
And
they
has
are the
an outstanding president. Absolutely, absolutely.
Dr. Jenkins over there, they become the standard bearer of what an HBCU represents.
Absolutely.
How about that? Have I redeemed myself yet?
Nah, that's better. Yeah, man, you can stop now. You've done well.
All right, thank you, man.
You've done well. I think you topped up Joseph over there. Joseph Gatewood, how you doing tonight, brother?
Hey, Joseph.
You gotta do better with your audio, Joseph. You gotta do better, brother.
You gotta do better.
Leon.
Yeah, I think
that's
better
right there.
Well, I'm gonna say I can't do any better. So I hope that's better. But anyway, how you guys doing? I heard you all talking about Livingstone College. And of course, and I agree with everything that you're saying, because I do respect Livingstone College as being a premier institution, because they have produced a lot of great leaders, local and nationally. And I have to give them a hats off to Livingstone College. And, of course, I like the camaraderie up there. I like the closeness, the support, and everything that Livingstone College stands for. I think it's the personification of an HBCU. It's what an HBCU is really is. If you want to know anything about what an HBCU is all about, that's Livingstone College.
Oh, man. You need a real clap on that, Robert.
Figure out how to clap and not cut my music off. Let me give it a clap. I have to come back to the music. Hold on. Let me audience. Did you hear that? Yes, they heard it. They had to get with that.
There you go. That was beautiful.
Real close. And every time I've always enjoyed coming to Livingstone College. Don't know whether you remember it or not, Robert.
What's that?
I don't even know whether you remember this or not, but I came to Livingstone College for you all's homecoming when I was in college, and we were having our homecoming the same weekend.
Why were you at our homecoming? I remember. That's when we had the band, boy. We were kicking behind back then, man.
Yeah, y'all had over 100 pieces back then.
Yes, sir. Oh, man. People coming from all over the place.
I remember you had 120 pieces.
Yes, sir.
I knew there was a lot of them. The only thing I remember.
We were shaking.
I knew it was a lot of them. And I knew it was a lot of them, and they sound real good.
Oh, man.
And of course, I've always been.
Go ahead, Joe.
Huh? You all's band director came over and spoke to me during his past homecoming. Now, he didn't know who I was, but what he paid attention to was how closely I was observing the band. And so he came over and talked to me. He said, I saw you were getting into the band. And that's when I told him, I said, I was in the band at North Carolina Central University. And then we got into a cool conversation. He knew the band director, you know, the guy that was the band director when I was at North Carolina Central, because he was trying to think of his name, and of course, and I ran it right off. So yeah, I got in a conversation with you all's band director, and the only reason he came over and started talking to me because he observed the way I was observing the band.
Yeah, man, can't beat a good.
I mean, y'all got a love band. Y'all got a love band, but it sound good.
You mean the one they got now.
Huh?
You mean the one they have now?
Yeah, it's a small band, but it sounds good.
I was checking about this homecoming. Yeah.
I mean, because quantity does not always exemplify quality. And of course, it was a small band, but they had a good sound. And that's what I'm looking for when I'm listening to a band.
Man, absolutely. I know we used to play that. I know the first year I got to Livingstone, and the first piece of music they handed out to us, man, I was like a kid at Christmas time. They handed us the sheet music for "Rock the Boat" by Hughes Corporation. Like, man, we gonna be playing this? Oh man, I was giddy, boy. I was dead gonna get it. And then right behind that, you got that down. Then they handed out the Sound of Philadelphia with the Soul Train theme. I said, like, man, this is it's not gonna get any better. Than this. It can't.
Right. I mean, you know, that's the HBCU man is the heart of the HBCU. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
because
yeah.
You know, because we were in the Bowman band, you know, we out there doing these little military marches and stuff, you know, and I get up to North Carolina Central University. Next thing I'm playing is Fence Walk, Backstabbers, and Loving You is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a totally different thing. When the man talking about, you know, getting your place. Say what?
What you say that, boy?
Hold on, guys. Let me check out for a minute. Hold on.
All right, bro. Well, I give me to say the first time I heard any song being played was when Lillian and Ellen were in college. They played the Sideshow. You know, they come out on the yard.
Oh.
They come out of the stadium. They come out on the front lawn and then do like a little concert. Playing all the songs,
right.
They were playing this. I mean, man, it sounded just like it was amazing. I didn't say no word. I was so excited. So like we just like
man,
to talk Curtis Gig.
Talk Kelly on the scene.
Curtis Gig was in the house.
In the house, like Martin be saying.
What's going on, brother?
For real, man.
What's
for real.
What's going on, brother?
Hey, man. Good
what's
to hear
going
you guys.
On?
I'm glad you got it. I'm glad God provided you traveling mercy that you got back to your home safely.
Wow. You
yep.
think, hey, boy, you think Livingstone pulled off a safe homecoming? So far, so good.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yep. I haven't heard about anybody.
Has it been far
anybody.
Enough? Hey, Rob, you said so far so good. Has it been far enough yet?
If you make it to 5 days, you're pretty good after 5 days. It was another day. We can exhale a little bit.
What are you talking about?
Livingstone. What did it say? COVID and the safety of the homecoming. Did we make it? Did we survive it? Did we get in and out of there safely? But I tell you, man, it was impressive when we got there and the guys at the gate with those asking for your card. I said, man, that kind of put you at ease. That was a good showing.
Yeah, I was telling somebody about the protocols that you all had in place, and I was impressed with it. I feel comfortable with it, even if I come down with it. I'm not going to claim it on Livingstone College because I think you all did an excellent job.
Amen.
Amen.
I was impressed.
Yes, good sir. Deal. Good deal.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure Kimberly's listening. She's happy.
Let's give Kimberly some love.
Yeah, go ahead and give her some love. Give her some love.
Hey, Kimberly Harrington. Yes. Yeah, we had a great party, man. It was great. Good, clean. Everything was great.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way those people treat y'all like rock stars up there.
Oh man.
Man, we just a bunch of country bumpkins, man, trying to make it. That's all.
They treat y'all like rock stars up there. I mean, they know you guys so well, they even know me. They come over and say, oh, you're the one that didn't come to Livingstone College. Is that right? I say, yes, I'm the one. Now what?
Yeah, he's going the wrong way.
Well, see, they don't know you that much anymore, Joseph. They don't ask you that quite as much anymore because they don't see you. They be asking us, where the other one? Well,
that's
all the Livingstone boys right here. No, the
other one.
The other one. Where is it? We know it's another one of y'all.
I'm like the invisible man.
That's actually the what they refer to you as, the other one.
Yeah, I tell you, I'm the invisible man. Just like when I go down to Waynesboro, and you know what people call me in Waynesboro?
Money? Yeah.
No, they call me Leon's brother. Oh, you Leon's brother. I said, yes, I'm Leon's brother. That's my name in Waynesboro, Leon's brother. Oh, let me introduce you to Leon's brother. Oh, hi, hi, yeah. Leon's brother.
What I'm going to call him, I'm Joseph's brother.
So what?
If I go to Charlotte or Central, I'm Joseph's brother.
That's exactly right. But I don't have the following up in North Carolina Central like you guys have up there at Livingstone, though.
Well, Joseph, you were just one of you, man. It's been like seven of us, man. It's been like seven gateways to come through Livingstone College, so it's just one of you, man. You can't expect to build the kind of same kind of base that we built.
Hey, Leon, I'm glad you said that because that makes me feel so much better because I never thought about it that way. There's no way possible that one Joseph is going to have the same level of people that recognize the name Gatewood as, what, seven of you guys that went up there. Leon, I'm so glad you said that. I'm just cool.
You kind of sad. You were sounding kind of sad, brother. I didn't want you to feel that way.
That's why I love my brothers. They always know how to build you up when you're feeling down. Because I was just thinking about that. I said, why is people, everybody coming around don't say, that's Gatewood. It was all one of me.
Only one of you, man. Lord have mercy.
Darn. I'm glad you said that, Leon.
I'm glad you made him feel better. I'm glad you made him feel better.
Got me crying over here, man.
I do feel better. I cry, I feel better. I feel so much better.
Give me some tissue, Tito.
You're not the guy. Hey, wait a minute. You're not that guy, man. I'm out to Channel 9 News. You're not the guy standing on the bridge getting ready to jump, are you?
I was, but I just moved away from the bridge. Thanks for that.
You have to do the show, man. You can't be jumping and doing the show at the same time.
I'm on my cell phone. I was standing right at the edge when Leon said that.
Man, I tell you,
man. I'm glad you brought him on in, Leon.
Check this out, guys. Not only when you gate with rock stars, I'm going to go ahead and say that there, but that'll be Quanera Hayes. Now,
wow.
Quanera Hayes is an Olympian. She made it to the Olympics in Tokyo. She's a Livingstone College alumnus. She was there. And, you know, of course, Livingstone had their inaugural, what is it, 40 under 30. I can't remember that name. Anyway, she was recognized that night, and she was just such a personable person. I was so impressed with her, you know, because she's really a star. I mean, really, she's kind of really a star. So Livingstone was very happy to have her there. Livingstone is very proud of her, and of course, she seems to have accepted Livingstone as what it is, her alma mater. And it was just very exciting to have her there. And
she carried herself with poise and dignity and very representative of the school and the accomplishments that she had at the Olympics. And we were, Leon and I, we flanked and we won us on each side of her. Pick us on Facebook right now. And I said, wow, man, I'm very happy and esteemed to be in the presence of this very accomplished young lady.
Yeah, we're very, Livingstone is very fortunate to have her representing the college. Absolutely.
Yes. She looked like she can run, man. I ain't gonna lie. I said, man, the wind behind this girl, that girl looked like she can run.
Yeah, she does look like she can really run.
She did. Tall or something, too. I think she was taller than me.
Yeah. Just, wow. Curtis Gatewood.
Yes, sir.
Curtis.
What's yes, sir. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on with you, man? We hear you. Can you hear me?
I'm like daddy, man. I'm full, buddy. I'm full. Two ways I'm full. I just finished eating, and then, of course,
yeah.
we're full of that, you know, that good feeling, that spirit, that happy feeling when you're with your family and when you're with your purpose. And, you know, you see your connection with your upbringing, and then it reminds you of your mama and your daddy, and, you know, so it's a good thing. So I'm glad to be with you guys this weekend. I'm still kind of feeling good about that. I was glad to be able to have a little part in that with you, Leon. Appreciate how you've kept the movement of the music moving. And I'm glad to Livingstone College that you all got my brother Leon. If you're listening, thank you for continuing to patronize and support him. And I was glad to be a little piece of that. So Livingstone, y'all keep it up as we continue to all grow as a family together. And this is a time to really show the world how to be a family again.
Well, I think Curtis, what you're saying is very more important right now than ever when we're seeing such division and hatred and self-hatred in our community. That if Livingstone could be a petri dish on how to create love and spread it, then I think it has served a very vital purpose. And I saw that this weekend. I was, from the minute I stepped foot on the campus, and Curtis down at the bottom of the hill blasting that good soul music all over the campus, and then going up and running into some of my classmates, and like you said, seeing some of the esteemed alumni who've gone through Livingstone, and the love was just palpable. You could cut it with a knife. I mean, the whole time I was there, it was just overwhelming. Really, I had to go sit down a couple times.
It's like Joseph was saying, Yeah, it's like Joseph was saying. It's a level of love there that's interesting and refreshing, because you know sometimes you can get out here in this world, this dog eat dog world, and everybody's competing and everybody's trying to climb up the ladder and bring you down or whatever, or try to race you to the top. Then you can come somewhere like Livingstone. I'm pretty sure it might be the same to any HBCU. Out here where people have gone to school, you have those friends that will just make you feel like they're proud of you, make you feel like they love you. You know, it's a great feeling. Yeah. And we need more of that, and we need to do it on a regular basis. We need to get that community village back together where we can do it, you know, without having to wait on a year or a special occasion where people can come back to the community like we used to when we were growing up. That village. Love village.
You know, I was I ran into this one young man, Seth. We were on Gola Hall, and
Lord,
I remember when I got mugged on my freshman year. I mean, I was these guys in the city beat the snot out of me. About five of them just literally stomped me in the ground. And this guy Seth, it was five of us. We were like a little group, Seth and Booty Bynum and Whoop. And Rat, and we hung together.
Mm-hmm.
But old Seth, that Seth boy, he became like almost my bodyguard. He was so disturbed by that. I mean, it was like, this guy, he was really willing to lay down his life, literally. That's how angry and upset he was of what had happened to me. And when I ran into him, I'm telling you, man, I hugged that brother, man, almost like tears. I mean, we hadn't seen each other in so many years. I almost couldn't let the guy go, man. It was just, I mean, that's just kind of the experience I was having when I was there this weekend. Randy the Doug and Bobby Gill and my frat brothers, Grayson. Remember Glenn Grayson, the guy that was on Family Feud? I ran into him.
Oh, yeah.
And thought about him, and he lost his son. And it was all this emotion was welled up inside of us. You can just feel it, man. It was overwhelming. It was that powerful.
Yeah. Man, Glenn. And I want to send something out. Hopefully Glenn can listen to this show at some point. I tell you, we love that brother.
You know, he's always been a very humble, very brilliant, humble young man. You know, they accomplish a lot, man, more than people will ever imagine, you know. And he's always been, you know, humble and always pleasant. And he's been through a lot, but, you know, you never know it. He keeps his head high. And, you know, those are the types of examples that we see, you know, when we go back to the Livingstone. And like I said, I hope we can bring it more into the community on a regular basis where young people today can really get, catch that spirit and hold their heads up high and understand they don't really have to resort to crazy stuff. They don't have to resort to a gang. And that is another reason why I'm hoping everybody's listening to understand the importance of this village that I keep talking about, because young people now, sometimes they just want something, a family, something that resembles a family to such an extent. They're so desperate sometimes, they're willing to join a gang because they feel like a gang is a family. And so the way we replace the gang is not just down them and talk about them and talk about how bad they are, but we have to let our light shine. We have to come out of our little churches or our little schools or colleges or our offices and get out there and let people see you and let people feel you. Know, let them know that you're real. Let them know that you, you know, because that's what they're about more than anything else. They're about realness. They don't like this phony mess where people act like they're, you know, they're above other people, or they act like they, just because they have a degree or just because they have something that society applauds, then they think they can look down on other people. But, you know, this is an opportunity for us to take these types of spirits back out of the schools or back wherever we came from, LGBTQs, bring it back home. Let the people see that spirit. Let them see that love. Let them see that light shining, that excitement, that they can understand they do not have to shoot their way out of a challenging situation.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Robert. Robert, Curtis, and Joseph. We're going to take a quick break and come back after the break and discuss what's going on, what the world's going on with the COVID stuff. Be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Brother Faria Radio Show. The number to call is 215-383-3872. Call in and talk to us. Coming up next, we're going to be talking about COVID and how important it is that you will get vaccinated if possible.
Wow.
You know, vaccinated.
Wow.
You know, remember that thing, to be or not to be, that is the question. To vaccinate or not to vaccinate is not the question. We got to get it done, guys. Coming right back up. Brother Faria Radio Show.
Livingstone is homegrown in Salisbury, known for its legendary Hood Seminary, City LC Carnegie Library. Livingstone does what is necessary to enhance its precious stones like a lapidary, with the care inexpressible beyond vocabulary, to create a sanctuary beyond the ordinary, school of hospitality, arts and culinary, holistic instruction, that's visionary, student health center, and it's a apothecary, barrack auditorium where it seems like a canary, learning methods may vary, but the efforts never tarry, sweet knowledge from a college like a sweet black cherry, athletes ready to defeat the adversary, Tubman building where the author literary, black history readily beyond February. Now the blueberry is a rare species. The blueberry has no fear of enemies. His intellect is what they respect. The intellect is in effect. We put opponents in check. Since 1879, LC stood the test of Father Time. Dr. Joseph Price, Bishop J.W. Hood paid the price for sacrifice so we could break the chains from the mental plantation, fill our brains with the best education, feel the pain of insane degradation. When we claim education, we can gain liberation. We're not taking lack. HBCU, historical black with a knack to rival me. Nothing can hold back the black and blue. Come on, Livingstone, this track is for you. LOVINGSTOND, Livingstone, COLLEGE. Who you with? Let's bring it like a garment that's fitted. The LC district is closely knitted. So let me be explicit. We are family and I'm happily knitted with it. Instructions are holistic, committed. Our spirit is befitted, and we know God did it. Victory in the face of adversity, fervently using faith as necessity. Universally with diversity, a Christian university. God have mercy.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. Call in and holler at us right quick. The number to call is 215-383-3872. What I'd like to do right now, guys, is take a brief moment of silence for the thousands and thousands of people that are losing their lives to this COVID-19 virus. We have so many local people that are losing their lives to COVID-19 and all kinds of other things that are going on out here. What we forget is the other stuff that kills us is still happening too. People are still shooting. There's still the flu. There's still cancer. There's still all that stuff. So then here comes COVID-19 on top of that. And we're just losing people, so many people in the community. We just like to take a brief moment of silence before we move into our next segment. For those people, if you have loved ones out there, know that we love you. If you lost loved ones, know that we love you, know that we care. And Curtis was saying earlier, it's just a good time to show your love. Just show somebody you love them. I mean, use love, use that power of love. It is one of the most powerful things in our society, love. Let's just use it. Find a way to use love to reach somebody.
Well,
now let's take a brief moment of silence, brothers. That sounds like Daniel cranking up back there, but I don't think it is. So, guys, here, ladies and gentlemen, here's a statistic that should awaken you. 98 to 99% of the people who have serious complications and or death from COVID-19 are unvaccinated. You know, there's a lot of talk going around about not getting vaccinated, all kind of theories and mysteries and misconceptions and untruths and things of that nature. But the fact is, 98 to 99% of the people who die from the coronavirus are unvaccinated. So, I love you guys. I love everybody. And I know there are different reasons why people don't take some people just can't take it. I understand that in my heart. I especially go out to those people. But if you can take the virus, I mean the vaccination, I would strongly suggest you do. Because this thing is wiping people out. And every day, two or three a day, I'm hearing now, man, in this small community. I'm hearing people calling people, hearing about two or three people every other day or so. It's like, wow, what's his name gone, man? What's her name's gone? We got to do it. Mm-hmm. I got to figure out a way to do it. I'm talking with a young lady today, Miss Pamela Melissa Thunderbird. She was NC Counts. And we're going to be doing some things with her in Anson County to make sure that as many people that will get vaccinated do. Because it's really our lives at stake. What you realize is, this is what I noticed. When we've participated in at least three or four vaccination events. When I say we, I'm talking about the Hollis Center. Not many people coming out. I mean, it's starting to show in our numbers of people getting the virus and people that are dying from it. So anyway, guys, I've said enough about that. If you guys have anything to say about it, please help me out.
Well, I will concur that it does, I think, of course, I'm vaccinated. I was vaccinated back in March and I got my second shot a month later. And, of course, like many, I had some mild, very mild side effects. Felt like I had I was a little sleepy, arm a little sore. And, of course, I did it with apprehension. And like anybody else, when you're putting a substance in your body, I've thought about the possible side effects. I thought about the long-term effect of what may happen 5, 10, 20 years down the road. But then I realized I didn't have the luxury of looking 5, 15, 20 years down the road when death was staring us in the face in the present. I didn't have the luxury of worrying about what's going to happen to me. When I'm looking at family, when I'm looking at coworkers, I'm looking at friends, I'm looking at people that are dear to me, I didn't have the luxury of worrying about what's going to happen to Robert 5, 15, 20 years down the road. I just couldn't be that all about myself. So I didn't have all the research and statistics and numbers. The number that stood out to me is that the people who are dying are the ones who are unvaccinated. The ones who are getting sick, the ones who are mainly passing it on, were the ones who are unvaccinated. And if I want to protect the people that I care about, the vaccination seems to be the most viable option. There's nothing in this world 100%. Nothing. Nothing in this world is going to be 100% safe. But we were facing a pandemic that was disproportionately affecting our community. I had one of my longtime clients, a very esteemed and well-known member of the Washington, D.C. community, Patrick Ellis. He'd been a client of mine for 20 years, one of my first clients. He called me from the hospital, and I didn't take the call because I was away from my phone, but he left a message, and in his what breath he had left, and he really sounded really horrible. He said, "Robert, I'm calling from the hospital. I have COVID," and I could barely make out what he was saying. And he gave me some instructions because he needed to contact some people through his website and his email. He wanted to make sure his email was working. And so I'm assuming that when he gets out of the hospital, we'll pick up, and we had just launched his brand new website. We pick up where things work. And I was getting ready to do a show a Friday, about a week later, and I got a note from one of my friends that Patrick Ellis has passed away. And this is not something. This thing is real. I just happen to be one of the people who have seen it firsthand. Take somebody away. 1 minute you're launching their new website, having a discussion with them, training them how to do their website, and a week or so later, they're in the hospital and they're passed away. But it's not just me. People have lost. For me, I've been fortunate. I haven't lost immediate family to the disease, but there are many who have. And so to the people who speak as if this is something that's estranged from our community, that's something that's hypothetical, it only happens to somebody else, you need to talk to these families and experience and realize the hurt that they're going through. And many people who have been on their deathbed, many, their most precious and last words were, "I wish I had taken that vaccination. I hate that I've done this, not just to myself, but to my family." To me, that was a compelling enough reason to take the vaccination. I'm glad I did.
Yeah. Well, let me just say this quickly. Probably if I was not married to my wife, Odessa Burnett Gatewood, the woman that loves me and I love her, I probably would not have taken it. And it could have cost me my life. I don't know. But because I am one of those people who, people know me. I protest the system. I resist the system. I don't trust the system. I'm all that. And so I was very much on the fence.
by my beautiful wife. She arranged, first she arranged a date before, and I just didn't go. And then she did it again. And, of course, another thing happened as well. My beautiful wife and my beautiful mother. At the time I took the vaccine and everything, my mama was still alive. And so I had this great wife who was the initiator of it all. And then I said, well, maybe that will make it better, too, if I can see my mama. Because we had to put distance between ourselves to another level when, of course, this COVID thing came down. And, you know, our mother was already of age. So first I want to thank my wife, Odessa, for, you know, just convincing me that, look, hey, you know, we're in this thing together, and I'm taking it seriously, and, you know, I wish you would. And so when my better half talks like that, then I'm going to listen. And then after that, like I said, well, maybe this will give me a chance to see mama. You know, that's what I was thinking. I said, maybe that will make me eligible to see her. And so those were the reasons I did it. It wasn't really something that I ran out. I certainly was not going to be the first one in line because I do know history. And when they start talking about, well, we want more black to take it, then that takes me farther away from it. But when I have a wife saying that somebody that I know really cares about me, that kind of got to me. And I'm like, well, if my wife, even if I have to go out of here, you know, taking the chance, and if it takes the wrong turn, you know, if I did it, that would help her, make her feel better about me being around her, then it wasn't in vain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. You take the emphasis
off
yourself.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
right.
Sometimes you, nobody knows 100%, but sometimes it comes down to who do you care most about, yourself or others?
Well, the thing with me about the vaccination, now, when they first started talking about the coronavirus, I went and did a lot of research on coronaviruses. And of course, coronaviruses have been here just about as long as mankind has been here. And actually, I did some research and I found that there was an early species of human beings that actually became extinct. And they believed that it was because of a virus. And then I remembered what I had seen a documentary, if you will, on television when they talked about what could eventually end mankind. And, of course, they talked about different things. They talked about there could be a nuclear war, could be a meteorite that hits the earth. And then they said it could be a pandemic that could actually eliminate mankind. And of course, when I had seen the thing about the pandemic eliminating mankind, I saw that probably 10 years before they started, where the coronavirus or the COVID-19 had started to spread throughout the world. And then I thought about all the different diseases that has plagued mankind since the beginning of mankind. Just like, for example, now, during Jesus' time, there was a pandemic. And that helped Jesus with his ministry because they found out that Jesus had healing power. And, of course, that pandemic that was going on at that time was the leprosy. And, of course, and if you had leprosy, you were banned from the from the city, the town. In other words, they had social distancing. They didn't have a vaccine. And then I thought about how diseases like smallpox were pretty much almost eradicated by vaccines. Then I thought about like measles, chicken pox. You know, a lot of people don't know that measles was at one time a deadly disease, a deadly virus that was actually taking people alive. But because of a vaccine, the vaccine mitigated the effects of the measles. And, of course, people started being able to live through measles. And pretty much you don't hear about a lot of people that are with the measles. And it's because of a vaccine. Polio. We don't hear tell of a lot of people with polio these days because it was almost eliminated because of a vaccine. And everybody remembers that before we could go to school, we had to take a vaccination in order to go to school. And, of course, and unfortunately, in my case, I couldn't take the vaccines, and so the vaccination to go to school. So I was out of school for an entire year. So when they start talking about kids can't go to school because of the pandemic, I said, well, that happened to me. I had to suffer through that alone. I stayed home for an entire year because I could not take the vaccine. And so when I started putting all that together, it was a simple choice for me to go out and take the vaccine. I said, and what bothers me is why people act like this is the first time they ever heard of a vaccine. Just like I had a conversation with my doctor. And what we concluded, if it were not for vaccines, mankind would already be extinct. We'll already be gone. We wouldn't be here. And people coming up with this thing about, well, I don't know what's in it. Well, people go to the drugstore every day and buy stuff. They don't know what's in it. These same people are going out here buying drugs off the street. They have no idea what's in it, but they would take it. But when it comes to something as simple as I see it as a vaccine, something that has been around for years, you know, to mitigate the effects of deadly viruses. And now all of a sudden they have to ask all these questions. To me, it just doesn't make sense. And my final note is this. When the vaccine first became available, as soon as I could go and take that vaccine, I went and took it. And the reason I took it, I said, I'm going to take this vaccination because I don't mind being a guinea pig for the rest of my family. So if I go out here and take this vaccine and I kick over, well, and they say it was because of the vaccination, well, I can tell I hope somebody will tell my children, don't take that vaccine because it killed Joseph. Don't tell my brothers and sisters, don't take that vaccine because it killed Joseph. But I was willing to sacrifice myself for the benefit of my whole family and for the whole neighborhood, friends, and everybody that I knew. And that's all I got to say about that. Thank you, folks.
Amen.
You're a good fella. Check this out. To what Joe was saying about, somebody was saying, anyway, I was talking to this young brother. I was telling him about he asked me if I took the vaccine. I said, yes, sir. I said, are you going to take it? No, sir. I don't know what's in it. He said he didn't know what was in it while he was sitting over there drinking a Mountain Dew. I said, will you please tell me what's in that Mountain Dew? You know what I'm saying? I just said, will you tell me what's in that?
No, he doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know what's in anything he eats, to tell you the truth. And let me tell you something else, folks. Even if they put it on the label, there's no guarantee that that's the truth. So
that's right.
What you think you know, you might not even know.
And you see people out here puffing cigarettes. You see people out here puffing cigarettes, making that same argument. I don't know what's in it. Well, they tell you what's in cigarettes, that it's going to kill you.
What's
they tell you
something. What's the chicken sandwich you eating? What's in it?
And like I said, I told somebody, and you know, they're talking about, well, they might be putting something in that to hurt black folks. I said, well, don't worry about that. I said, because if they wanted to kill a lot of black folks, the only thing they had to do was poison Popeye chicken sandwiches. Because if black folks were lined up from here to all to the next block, lining up to get Popeye chicken sandwiches, and then not one of them asked what was in the ingredients of a Popeye chicken sandwich.
I like Neely Fuller. I like his response. He said, now he's an old guy. He's almost have a cult following of people who he wrote the Eternal Racist Code. And he said, if the white supremacists decide to kill you, they don't have to trick you. They'll kill you in broad daylight. They'll have to be sneaking around, sneaking stuff in back. They'll kill you to your face.
And just like my doctor said, and just like my doctor said, he said not that it should matter, and of course, and I already knew it. He said not that it should matter. He said, but one of the creators of the Moderna vaccine was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
He said not that it should matter, and of course, and right now they're saying that one has the highest level of efficacy of any of the vaccines that are available. The one that was created by the black woman.
You're right.
So,
Moderna has the highest rate of efficiency.
That's right.
What you think about
so,
that, Moderna?
So a lot
that
of these
kinda,
arguments that these people
sounds,
are making.
That Moderna kind of sounds black, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It sounds like
it. Sound black.
It got a little soul sound to it.
Don't be saying that sound like Medea. Got a little Madea in it.
Don't say Madea. You might have more of the black Madonna in it.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
That might be why when I took the Moderna, that might be why they were playing Bob Marley music. I don't know.
You boys crazy.
Y'all do know
it's crazy,
about the black Madonna,
it's serious.
Right?
Yeah, I'm sure you're gonna tell her.
Yeah, that was funny. But yeah, Joseph, good points. Good points.
Yep.
We are,
and every time somebody tells me, come out,
and
I'm gonna tell you what irritates me more than anything. It irritates me more than anything when I hear these people, these selfish people, when they are only thinking about themselves for the moment. That's the only. Well, I might not get it because I'm strong and I'm healthy. Well, what if you get it and give it to your unhealthy mother, or your unhealthy cousin, or your unhealthy brother, or your newborn baby, or your unhealthy coworker? What about them? Are you just thinking about your own selfish self? I'm not going to take the vaccination because I don't know what it will do to me. What's
mm-hmm.
that about? That's just
yeah.
plain old selfishness, and I cannot stand selfishness.
you sound like you can't stand it. You sound like you want to beat it up.
I loathe it. Oh, boy, and I abominate selfish people.
Well, and that was one of the things that really put me over the top. It was that if I take this vaccination and it has some ingredient that's harmful, let's say to whomever, it's going to affect me. It's going to affect me. And you can't spread that harm to others. Let's say it was 50-50. Okay, well, let's give this the doubt of the benefit of the doubt. Let's say it's 50-50. You take the vaccine. You take the vaccination. Something may happen to you. You take it, and you don't take it. Well, you know what I'm saying. If you take it, something happened to you. Don't take it, something happened to you. The big difference is, if it's 50-50, if I don't take it, it's only something that's going to happen to me.
Right.
That's the end of it. If I don't take it, I could get it, this disease, and wipe out my family and friends.
Lord, how much?
So it comes down again to who is more important to you, just you or your family, your community. And that's really something, that's really when you get down to it, that's what it boils down to.
And see, and what bothers me, it's when you get on a whole lot of these so-called Christian people that are out here anti-vaccinated, anti-vaccine, so-called Christian people. Uh-oh. But people don't understand, because they haven't read the Bible and tried to read it with understanding, is that Jesus was a supporter of the health system at that time. Because keep in mind, once somebody came to Jesus and they got healed, what did Jesus tell them to do? He told him to go to the priest and let the priest check you out to make sure that it's okay for you to go back into the community. He just didn't tell him to go right back in the community. He respected the health system that was in place at that time. And not only that, he showed in another scripture where he acknowledged the health system that was in place at that time, when he said that those who are well do not need a physician. It's those that are sick that need a physician. And of course, and he was using that in a symbolic way, because what he was saying, because when people they were talking about him for hanging out with the people they call sinners, and Jesus was hanging out with these people, and he was basically saying, you know, these are the people that actually need salvation. And so he kind of flipped that around so they would understand it by saying that those who are sick are the ones who need a physician. The well don't need a physician. So he was acknowledging that he believed in the health care system that they had in place at that time. He didn't come out saying, well, y'all don't need to go worry about no physician. Y'all don't need to go check with the physician. Just follow me and you'll be all right. That was not Jesus' approach.
Joe.
Yes, sir.
Father, Curtis.
Yeah.
Tell you what a friend of mine told me. He said that everybody in his family got vaccinated but one of his siblings. And he said his other sister was saying it might kill him or whatever. The vaccine might kill us. He said, everybody had taken it but one. He said, I told that one that didn't. He said, man, you might as well come on and die with the rest of us. if you think the vaccine is killing
you don't be the only one left.
Right.
I know I sure wouldn't. Oh, I'm the only one with y'all. All y'all dead and gone into heaven. I'm the only one walking around here by myself, my whole family, everybody.
I know, man. Let's go. Let's go, bro.
We got to go together.
I think your points have been well taken, and I think if there is probably anybody on the fence who's listening, I think they're probably leaning in the way of going and getting this vaccination, not necessarily because we're concerned about the doctors, but more that we're concerned about making sure that our families and the people who are closest to us are not in any way harmed by us. If they're harmed by something else, then we can't help that. But I think the message going out today is we'll take every precaution necessary to protect our family. And if we see real numbers, the numbers are talking, from what I understand, about the how people are actually dying in little towns like Wadesboro. I mean, I happened to just visit Wadesboro the other day, and I just happened to be going down. And unfortunately, almost every time I pass the Smith Frontal Home, there's a bunch of cars out there. And I'm like, who is it this time? And unfortunately, sometimes it's somebody that I know very well. So I think the point has been made, and I don't think we should make anybody feel bad who may have decided that they are not going to take it. But I think the points made today were very strong and compelling. And I think people who may have been listening today, I think you might have a better sense of feeling that maybe it's not just about me. It's not just about what I think about, you know, the system or whatever. If I see people dying and there is a pandemic that's real, you know, I have to weigh what is most important. And if I must die, which we are going to die, there's no question about that. Then if I die believing that I did something that might prevent death to my family or my community, then you know your dying was not in vain.
That really sums it up. If I'm going to err, let me err on the side of trying to help people. stay alive.
Yep. Yep. Good point. Good point.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have to listen to the brother. Yes, sir.
Oh, man. We need to let people know about Sunday. Can I? Do I have a minute to say?
Yes, sir. Curtis?
Curtis said that he disappeared.
Curtis?
That's kind of ironic, isn't it? He was the main. He's the one who said he had something to add, and he's the one that disappeared.
Disappeared, huh?
Yeah, wait a minute.
Phone must have dropped.
Lose this. Yes, it looks like it. Give him a step to see if he calls back. Sound like he really wanted to.
Yeah.
Like he really wanted to get that word in there.
Mm-hmm. Third Sunday coming up.
Is that this Sunday?
Gosh, I think this is second Sunday.
No, it's the third Sunday.
It is the third
Sunday.
Third Sunday.
Yeah.
Well, yep. Curtis will be at the Hollis Center then on the third Sunday, unless he's going to have his. 16,
yep. Oh, this Sunday. Third Sunday. Yeah, this month got five Sundays in it. That's why it seemed like.
Yeah, it seems kind of early, doesn't it? Yeah, Minister Gates will be in at the Hollis Center at 3:00 this Sunday. I'm sure that's what he would like to speak with us about. If he's not at the Hollis Center this Sunday, we're going to travel up to Charlotte to get out the vaccine event in Charlotte. But anyway, I think he's working on getting back to announce his visit to the Hollis Center on the third Sunday at 3:00, which will be this Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I just say, while we're waiting on Curtis to come back, I just say, ladies and gentlemen, let's keep spreading the love in our community. Like Dr. King said, hate doesn't conquer hate. Only love can conquer hate. And Curtis made a good point. If some people, like even, we don't need any additional divisions in our community. We found out that we're seeing a time now where people are fighting, people have masks on, or fighting people that don't have masks on, and vice versa. People are drawing lines on the pandemic. People are drawing lines on work from home. And this pandemic has tried. We already had division. We've always had division in this country, but this pandemic has exacerbated the existing ones and created new fault lines. And let's not fall for that. Let's think more. And let's think along the lines of the community. Sometimes when you get lost along the way, you're not sure what to do. I've said this is not just a pandemic or a vaccine bit of advice, but this has always been one of my flagship statements, is take the emphasis off yourself. When you take the emphasis off yourself, things get a little clearer. It really does. Because you're blinded by your own self-interest. Yes.
Amen. Robert, I was at... Our school superintendent was at our event today with Livingstone College. We had an aside talk with him and a young lady from NC Counts. And he was telling us that this school system here is working on a proposal to do vaccinations at the schools. Now, you're talking about something that's bold and powerful, somebody using their power to do the right thing. I think that's very... commendable, because you know it's a lot of foolishness going on out there, you know, especially in the school systems on this stuff. And we just think I'd like to congratulate him on using his power to do the right thing there.
Well, he's going to have some challenges, but he's going to have some challenges, and I do admire his resolve, and hopefully he'll prevail.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well,
yeah.
If anything happens differently on Curtis's, if anything happens differently on his announcement, we'll make sure we bring it in. But we'll assume that he will be at the Hollis Center on Sunday at 3:00. If anything differently happens than that, we'll let everybody know.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the Brothers for Real radio show. God bless you. Thank you for being here. We're going to get up out of here, Robert. Thank you, Joseph. Thank you for spending your time with us today. Thank you for sharing your wisdom. Thank you, Robert, for sharing your wisdom. Thank you, Curtis, for sharing your wisdom. Thank you, guys, for listening out there. God bless you. We out.